young ladies pursuing life's opportunities. What's an unmarried lady to do? Come hear the various ways young unmarried ladies are currently ministering to their families, reaching out to the needs of others, and pursuing personal development. Join me, Dr. Thomas Lamar, on this episode of Christian Heritage on Air as we sit down with a panel of young ladies to find out how they are maximizing their time at home. For more information, visit ChristianHeritageOnAir.com. Christian Heritage on Air is a production of Christian Home Educators of Washington. This podcast was recorded in front of a live audience at the 9th Annual Christian Heritage Family Discipleship and Homeschooling Conference in Redmond, Washington, April 25th, 2014. On the air. Hello and welcome back. My name is Dr. Thomas Lamar. I'm a homeschooling father, chiropractor by trade, a guy who loves to podcast, and your host for Christian Heritage on Air, a program which looks to encourage, teach, and inspire you with biblical vision for your family and the home education process. Well, welcome everybody. We are coming to you on location at the 2014 Christian Heritage Family Discipleship and Homeschooling Conference right here in Redmond, Washington, where we are broadcasting in front of a studio audience. And there they are. You can hear them applauding. Thank you, Logan, for holding up the applause sign. Thank you, everybody. What a turnout we are seeing this weekend at what amounts to be the 9th annual Christian Heritage Conference. You know, it seems that every year gets bigger and bigger and better and better. Lots of inspiration, lots of encouragement, lots of learning and fellowship as families come together to hold each other up as they forge ahead in their family discipleship and homeschooling journey. And it's all to the glory of God. If you are listening to my voice on a CD or on the podcast and you're thinking, wow, I wish I could have been there. Well, ChristianHeritageOnline.org is the website to learn more about what they're doing and to get signed up for future conferences. But those of you in our live audience, you are here, and we are so glad that you are, because on today's program, we have the opportunity to talk to four beautiful young ladies in a panel discussion about what they are doing as they await marriage to maximize their time at home. Specifically, how are they ministering to their families? How are they reaching out to the needs of others? How are they pursuing personal development? We're going to talk all about that and find out. It is my pleasure to welcome to Christian Heritage on Air, Anna, Leanne, Rebecca, and Brigida. Did I mess that one up?
You're pretty good.
Brigida. Okay. Well, you know, we're going to work on that. Brigida, why don't we just start with you? I mentioned that you are all unmarried, and that's not exactly correct, because you were recently wed.
I was, yes.
So we want to congratulate you on that. That's wonderful. And I'm really excited that you're on our panel because of your perspective that you will now bring to what we're talking about. And it's going to be very meaningful. So thank you for being here. And let's go ahead and start with you. And okay. And what I want to do, just really more for the benefit of those listening at home, I want to allow them to connect your voice with your name. So go ahead, tell us your name, pronounced correctly, how old you are, how many brothers and sisters you grew up with, and where you are in the mix.
All right. Well, my name is Brigida Hamilton. I am 21 years old. I am from a family of 7 children, and I am the second oldest. I have an older sister.
Okay. Now we're going to do that. Same question for all of you ladies here. Anna, let's just start with you. We'll move on down the line.
Well, my name's Anna Hainline, and I'm 25 years old, and I am the 5th of 8 children, 4 boys, 4 girls.
Excellent. And then Leanne.
Leanne Bryan, and I am 25 years old, and I'm the oldest of 2 with a younger brother.
Very good. And Rebecca.
Yep. I'm Rebecca Cowles. I'm the oldest of 3. I'm 21, have a younger sister and a little brother. Well, he's not so little anymore.
That happens. What we're going to do today is have a discussion around this idea of young unmarried ladies maximizing their time at home while ministering to their families, reaching out to the needs of others, and pursuing personal development. And ladies, I want you to consider who your target audience is. Pretty much who you see in this room should give you a good idea. But I also want you to consider the young ladies that will listen to this recording in the future, and also consider the fathers and the mothers who are all interested in this idea And you know, it's even possible that some young men will tune in as well, and that is if they're smart. Today, I have a handful of topics that will center around this discussion theme. And then in the latter part of the program, the studio audience will have a chance to ask you questions as well. And for our studio audience, my daughter Paige will be passing out index cards. So please write your question on the cards as they come to you. Please write legibly. And then when you're ready, go ahead and hold up your card and she will collect it for the Q&A session. So ladies, I want to encourage you to feel free to talk. I know you can. This by no means needs to be a stiffly moderated panel. We're not doing a presidential debate or anything. Feel free to jump in and interact with one another as you feel led. No, if you're not speaking, I eventually will call on you. When you do jump in, I think it'll be helpful for those listening at home to just make sure that you say your name just so we don't get too lost in the whole thing, okay? So let's start with this. You know, this idea of staying at home as an unmarried young lady is, well, for lack of a better word, it's different in this day and age, and dare I say controversial. So I guess the best question just to kick things off is why? Why do you guys do it? Why do you stay at home? And you can hear the crickets chirp right now.
I guess I'll start.
Anna's going to go.
Well, I think that's a really significant question because I think a lot of young ladies, they know it's the right thing to do and they want to do it because they just see that other godly Christian young ladies are doing it. And I think the key in why I've chosen to stay at home is the fact that my parents, growing up, this may sound really strange, but I was marinated in the scriptures. Mm. And I'm so blessed by that, and I'm so thankful for that. And I think that as a result, I've really come to a point. I'm definitely still growing. It's not like I've arrived, per se. But I really sense that it's a part of me to do what I do, not because it's the right thing to do, but because it's my nature. It's what I've come to understand through what my parents taught me in the scriptures about what God has called a woman to. I mean, we have in the creation account that God created the woman as a helper to the man. And I think part of the importance of staying at home and understanding why you're doing that is recognizing that God created the family unit. He created the family unit, and he created a woman to help a man in that process. And I think it's something that we do not because, like I said, it's the right thing, but it's because we understand who we are, what God has called us to, and who he made us to be, our nature as women. And so I guess that would be, in a nutshell, my answer to that question. I stay at home not because it's the right thing to do, per se, but it's because I understand that that's what God has called me to, and that is my nature mm-hmm. as a woman.
Looks like Brigada wants to speak.
Oh, well, I have them. I have some thoughts going through. I would definitely agree with a lot of that. I chose to stay home because I felt that that being at home was the way that I could serve God the most fully. I think that women and men and daughters and with their parents, that there are gender roles, definitely. You know, we are created differently. We are created for different purposes, for different roles. And our fathers have that headship over us that later as I'm, you know, married, that headship is to my husband. But I think that those roles are very different in that, when you're at home, your headship, your father is your head, and you're at home under him. But that is just a very, very small part of it, because your mother is not your head in the same way that your father is, but she's still your authority and has co-headship with your father in the role as parent to you. And I think that it's really important to recognize the role of a father in a daughter's life. But I also think that that we need to make sure that, you know, our mothers we're giving them the same amount of respect and authority in our lives. Not the same role, not the same way, but definitely the same. And I also feel that that the reasons I stayed at home were to be trying to think of a good way to put this. It was the best way that I could serve Christ. I think that if we just focus on our fathers and on our families and on serving our mothers and being at home, then we're really losing the purpose and the value of being at home, because ultimately everybody's life is to glorify God and to be serving God. And so if that isn't our focus, if we're just worried about specific ways to serve our father, specific ways to serve our mother or our siblings, then we're doing it for the wrong reasons, and we've lost something really beautiful. And if you're at home for people and not for God, then you're going to be really discontent. People aren't God. People can't measure up to a certain standard. They won't do the things that you want them to do, you know, exactly the way you want them to do it. Your father may not have a job at home or a ministry at home that you can help out with specifically. And because it doesn't look like the cookie cutter and you're looking to serve him, you're going to miss out on amazing opportunities at home.
Absolutely. Rebecca, let's go with you.
All right. I also think that staying at home is the safest place that a girl who's unmarried can still be. Like Anna was saying, she was created after the man as a helpmeet. She is... her role is to be protected, to help the man, but she's also being protected by him. And if she's out in the world all by herself, there's nobody that will be there to protect her, college and apartment buildings and all mm-hmm. that stuff. And so if she's staying at home, she's also cultivating deep relationships with her family members, which is good. It's good to be close to your family if you're living with them. You have a really... personally, especially, have a real deep sense of safety at home with my not-so-little brother and my dad there to protect me. And it's good to also learn how to relate to guys in your family because, like my mother always says, the way you treat that your husband and your father and your brother is the way you're going to treat your husband when you grow up. So if you have struggles in your relationships at home, then that's going to transfer over to your husband someday. So
absolutely, yeah. A lot of people don't see that, but that's so true.
Yes. So,
Leanne, go ahead and share.
I just want to say that, you know, one of the things to remember as being a daughter at home, you're not just there. It's great. We are there to help our family, but also to learn from them. You know, that's a big key, that we are there to learn and grow and minister to our family. But, you know, through God refines us. And one of the ways is through all the struggles at home and with our families. And you're going to be around people 24/7 for the rest of your life unless you're a hermit. So, you know, you need to be able to connect with your mother and father, your siblings, and as much as it's a struggle, it's also a very good thing to learn, how do you work with those people? How does God want you to act around them? What you're there to be an encouragement to the rest of the family. You know, not just you're there to help, do the dishes, chores, all that typical stuff. You run errands. But you're also there to encourage them, you know. People get home from a busy day running errands and everybody's a little upset and it's not the greatest day in the world. And you're there to encourage them, you know, make a funny joke or make them a nice meal or, you know, help clean up the house when they weren't able to do it because they're too tired. You know, that's, you're ministering to them and you're also ministering and doing God's work at home. So, you know, that's another way of looking at it, is that you're being a blessing, a ministry to others. And so that's, this is another way to look at it too, another part of it, aspect.
Yeah.
So
maybe later I'll have you do some jokes for us. Hey, you know.
No, that's my mom. My mom can do it better than me.
Anna touched upon this. You said that you were marinated, you know, in the scriptures. And I guess what I want to get from you guys is this an idea that kind of evolved over time for you, or was it something you always knew you wanted to do from the beginning? Can you kind of address that aspect?
Okay.
Go ahead. Whoever wants to jump in, go for it.
All right. Well, with me, it definitely evolved. It was not something that I thought I wanted to do at all. We'll say strong-willed. I was strong-willed, and for me, I had a desire to serve the Lord, but I thought that that meant something that everybody else would think was huge. Not because nobody wants to say when somebody asks you, you know, what you did that week, you know, like, oh, well, I cleaned the living room this week. And I mean, you know, there are more things than that, but you don't want to, a lot of times you want to have something really impressive to tell people to make it seem like staying at home was, you know, it really is worthwhile, I promise. You know, and like try to defend yourself. So I thought I could do something much bigger and better outside of the home. And so the way that I thought I would do this was, you know, through a career out on my own, you know, in Seattle, you know, going to university. And what I came to realize was that I was doing things that were maybe socially acceptable, and I didn't have to defend myself to more people. But for me, I felt like I had, I knew I had lost a lot of opportunities to minister, a lot of opportunities to be with my family. My younger siblings were growing up, and I wasn't as big a part of their lives as I wanted to be. And I kind of got this glimpse of myself several years down the road and regretting all the time that I had lost and all this amount of time that I had that was, as a single young lady, you're, especially once you've finished your formal education at home, whatever curriculum your family set out for you to do, those are some of your freest and most profitable years, where your time has less constraints on it. You have more responsibilities. Your ability to go out and serve in ministries, and it's never greater than at that time. So I saw all that I could be doing, all that I was doing, and what my purpose was my purpose in going to college and in working outside the home. Was that to serve God, or is that so that I would look okay to others? And just being really honest with myself, the answer was not to serve God. And so I went back home, and my parents were thrilled and made it very, very easy for me.
Oh, amen. Any of the young ladies up here have the opposite story, where you just knew from, you know, day one?
Yeah, my ever since we were little. I'm Rebecca, by the way.
Yeah, thank you.
Ever since my sister and I were little, mother always told us, you know, what God's plan for a lady is when she grows up, she's going to get married and stay at home and have children. And she was the best example for that, in that she had a job before she met my dad. And then when she got married, she actually stayed at home and raised us up. And that's the best example from, is just watching your own mother. It's just you. There's so much you can learn from your mother, and I'm just so blessed to have her in my life. And she's just always there to, you know, cry on her shoulder, or she'll make me laugh if I'm feeling down. So she's always ready to give me any ideas or tips on things. She'll help me, you know, get ready for parties or things like that. So she made staying at home look fun, instead of just, oh, I have to do this because I have kids. She actually enjoyed staying at home, and she gave my sister and I that light and that goal to work forward to, that staying at home is actually fulfilling, and it's a fun opportunity to pour into your children's lives and to pass on your family's vision to the next generation. Mm-hmm. So
wonderful. You know, just in the interest of time, because I want to keep kind of the show moving here and have as much coverage as possible, but for those of you that didn't answer, any influences in your life, any resources that have been particularly meaningful in helping you to maximize your time at home?
Yeah, I mean, there's you can list a lot of things. Biggest thing I really think is between your parents, quite honestly, and the Bible. Really, read your Bible, study it, If you think you've studied it, study it some more, because you probably haven't even come close. But that those two are the main ones. There's books, some that are pretty good to look at. I know Elizabeth Elliot wrote some really good ones that I think we've talked about earlier that were really, really good. Passion and Purity, I think, was one of them that was a good one. The other one actually is about wives and mothers. It's focused on that, but really the where is their heart is the biggest thing that they talk about in the books called, if I can say it correctly, Passionate Housewives, Desperate for God by Jenny Chansey and Stacey McDonald. And really that was a good one, you know, being able to read through and be like, wow, yeah, that applies to my bad attitude the other day. And yeah, that applies to the other problems we've had, you know, before. Every single thing, it comes back. Oh, yeah, I've seen that before. I'm not even married, don't have kids, but, you know, still facing those issues now. And I think that's good. You face them now, you read through those things, and you learn from it, you know. So hopefully it's not such a struggle when you're married. Still have the struggles, but hopefully you'll be able to, you know, work through it with God's help. So
absolutely. Anna, what about resources or the things that you have found particularly helpful in this?
Well, I had to laugh when I saw this question ahead of time because I was trying to think back on some of the resources that I've had. And I really have to say really honestly that the scripture, because we can read lots of books, we can have lots of self-helps, lots of how-tos, but every single one of those is written by someone who's completely fallible, you know? And I think unless you have pored over the scriptures and you really are living, breathing the scriptures, that is really the only thing that's going to really keep you on the right track, because every one of those books probably has something in it that's maybe not totally biblical. And so I think it's really important to recognize the scriptures, and that would have to be my initial answer. I wanted to like give this long list of resources, and I was just like, well, I just have to say the scriptures, really, and your parents. That was a wonderful, wonderful thing to point out, Rebecca, and I think that it's very, very important, but I cannot stress enough the importance of the scriptures. And one thing I wanted to comment on too real quick was the reality that nobody arrives. This whole period of walking with the Lord in faith and living your single years for God's glory, it's a one faith step at a time. And it's something that you're never going to get to the point where you're like, wow, I've just arrived and I'm just like perfectly content at home and I have it all together. It's never going to be that way, because God is always going to continue to challenge your faith. And so I think it's really important to recognize, and something that I have had to really learn, that even though I was raised with this whole concept from the beginning, I mean, I was always going to stay at home. It never was a question in my mind, but that doesn't mean my maturity level was at that stage, respectively. So, you know, you mature and you grow and you learn, and the key is to take the next step. And that's something that my mom has been so amazing in sharing with me, is it's about right now, this moment, are you going to walk by faith right now? So.
Well, we are here in front of a live audience, and I got to tell you, there's pretty much standing room only at this point. Obviously, this is a topic that people want to know more about. As I was introducing you all, I mentioned that we were going to touch upon the various ways that you are currently ministering, or in Brigida's, did I say that right? Brigida's case, I think that was it.
That was
it. In the ways that you have ministered to your families, the ways that you have reached out to the needs of others, the ways you have pursued personal development. I really don't want this to be a big resume session, but I do want our audience to hear about some of the various ways that you are spending your time. You know, each of you has your own personality, your own unique set of circumstances. But as a way to inspire and encourage those that are here in our audience and those that are listening, tell us what you're doing. How are you guys spending your time? Just jump on in, Liam.
All right, this is Liam. I think a couple of ways. I have, obviously, I'm at home. There's not a large family, so it's not like it's always crazy there necessarily, but doing the laundry, that's pretty much my huge thing that I'm always doing is laundry. The guys do landscaping, so yes, there's grass everywhere, all the time. So, you know, doing the laundry, trying to keep up with the regular stuff so mom can take care of bills and other necessities and fine-tune things of the house that I don't necessarily do. And the other things, I do have, I work the gardens because I like being outside. So my thing is I'm given the vegetable gardens, and I'll run the vegetable gardens, and I'll, you know, maybe make extra and take it over to a nearby farm's stand and sell it off to them. So that, you know, it's one of the ways of helping the family, having a little bit money on the side to help out with things and, but, you know, keep food on the table a little bit, but encourage the mom and dad not feel too stressed about things. So it's one of the things.
Rebecca, go ahead.
All right. My mother, you're all going to get sick of hearing what my mother does. My mother likes to say that she worked herself into a manager position in our household with teaching my sister and I how to run a well-maintained household, get meals on the table at in a decent amount of time. When I was younger, when my sister and I were still in school, she would have us trade off weeks during the summer when we were out of school, and we would plan meals for the week. We'd make a grocery list. We'd go shopping, and then we'd cook the meals. It's something that's good to know. Is just how to, you know, budgeting. Like if you do coupons or, you know, planning ahead. Okay, we're busy this week, so we need leftovers on these certain days. So just how to plan ahead and look at your schedule and see what needs to be done in a certain amount of time. Also, same with Leanne, laundry. that always needs to be done. It never ends. Making sure the house is at least tidy in case somebody drops by.
All right. Well, this is Brigitta.
Thank you.
and of course, you know, a lot of the time is spent with all those things that you really don't want to tell people you do, like laundry and vacuuming and yes, and cleaning the bathroom. But the other things that you can do, it's out of your home, but it's not just in the home. It's not just the things that you do with your siblings, but you are surrounded by people, not just, you know, well, some of us, you know, with lots of siblings in your house, you are surrounded by people. When you go out shopping, you are surrounded by people. Some of my best ministry opportunities have been through my church, again, surrounded by people, and the ministries from the church going out, and all those people are they're all in need of something, whether that's you sharing Christ with them or just things that you can help people with. With the goal being at home is to serve Christ, and when you are devoted to serving Christ, when your eyes are on Him, then God will bring opportunities to you. You don't even have to go out to look for them. You'll just stumble across them, and just need to be aware of what your part in that is. But there, I'm just trying to think of examples that could help people. Things from maybe babysitting for the couple that, you know, doesn't have money to hire a babysitter and, you know, maybe wouldn't trust somebody else. You know, things that sound really cliche, like, you know, helping somebody with their grocery bags out to the car, you know, nursing homes everywhere, hospitals everywhere. There are so many places to minister. There's a whole world of people to minister to, and you have that opportunity to. Some of it will be through your home hospitality. Some of it will be through things that you don't even think will minister to others, like your interaction with your siblings or your interaction with your parents. But there are so many things you can do. You just have to be serving Christ first, really, and then you don't have to try to look for a ministry. God will bring them to you.
Okay, Anna. Bring it home.
One thing I just wanted to add to that, too, I really agree with what Brigitte is saying there. And I think her point that the highest priority needs to be serving the Lord. And when you are doing that, God will bring you opportunities to minister to others, minister to your family. If your heart is where it should be in trust in the Lord and living in complete contentment in what he's called you to do at that specific time. I think the other thing that I was kind of throwing around as she was talking was the reality that God has given each of us gifts. And I think it's important to tap into those and, you know, seek your parents' advice and their help on, you know, what are my gifts? What strengths has God given me? And how can I use those in, you know, my home and to serve the body of Christ? When I graduated from high school at the age of 19, I was a little bit late, but
I was with you.
I took over the whole kitchen operation. Like, I made all the meals, I did all the dishes. And at that time, we had 6 kids still at home. And so that was a total of 8 people, 3 meals a day, making the food, washing the dishes. And I just loved that. And we had so many people into our home. I love hospitality, I love to cook meals for people and just treat them really well. My dad has actually been in pastoral ministry for about 30 years. And so we are, door is constantly revolving pretty much. We have people in that come and stay for a week or two or just one night. And I think capitalizing on your gifts and understanding the gifts God has given you and seeking out help as to what those are and taking advantage of them is really important. One of the things that I've been doing somewhat, not as much recently, but I got my certification as a birth and postpartum doula, which is basically, in other words, a childbirth coach. And so my passion for that was to learn for myself when it comes to childbirth, because I want to have children and I don't want to be afraid of that. I want to just relish the idea of accepting as many of God's blessings as I possibly can. And I thought, what better way is there to serve the Lord at this time when I'm single, when I want to be doing that, than helping other women walk that road and supporting them in accepting God's blessings and longing for God's blessings. So that's something that I've really poured a lot of my life into, is learning how to serve women in childbirth and postpartum as they grow their families. And because it's a challenge, it's a huge challenge. Childbirth and postpartum is very, very, let's put it lightly, very challenging. So just being available and to minister to women who are doing what I long to be doing and mm-hmm. supporting them in God's calling on their life.
Okay, well, I think we had pretty good coverage on that. We could certainly go deeper, but in the interest of time, and maybe we'll get to some more questions with the Q&A here that address what we were just talking about, but I want to talk about struggles. Have you guys had any struggles? So you have. How do you guys deal with them? How do you deal with the negativity that might be coming your way?
I'll talk.
Okay.
This is Anna, by the way. The number one biggest challenge that I've had is other Christians looking down on what I've chosen to do with my life right now. And that seems strange, but I really, when it comes to the world's opinions, it's a little bit easier, at least for me, to just kind of say, you know what? I'm doing what I'm doing. You know, I'm just going to keep moving forward. But when other believers really are down on what I'm doing and what I believe God has called me to, that has been a huge challenge for me. And so God has really done a lot of work in my life to develop boldness in me. And I think it really does, too, at least for me, come back to what I was talking about in the very beginning about knowing why you're doing what you're doing and realizing this is who I am. This is who God has designed me to be. This is what his word has laid out for me. And I think if we really take the scriptures seriously, we will take hold of that and come what may. I mean, God has given us a calling, and if we really take him seriously and long for that calling and love that calling, not that it's easy, it's very challenging, and I have to make faith choices every single day, every single moment. Like I said, we don't ever really arrive. you know, we're always a work in progress, but recognizing who we are and understanding who we are from the scriptures will give us that boldness, because we're doing what we're doing not because it's the right thing to do, but because it's who we are. That's who God has made us to be.
Brigida. I'm working on it.
I really like what Anna just said, especially because it is a lot harder to hear it from Christians than it is to hear it from unbelievers. Because you expect to hear it from unbelievers, but mm-hmm. From fellow Christians, it's harder. I think a lot of my struggles though weren't so much with other people's. It was just with myself, and I think the hardest part about it is you're learning, and it's one of those things that you never stop learning, but you're learning dependence on God and even dependence on members of your family instead of independence with yourself, dependence on yourself. And especially with me, I think I really like to be able to handle things myself, to do, you know, I'd rather, you know, solve my own problems than go to somebody else. And I'm very independent, both in the good and the bad ways, by nature. I think everybody is. But staying at home, you are putting, instead of saying, I will go and I will do this and I will do this and I will plan my life out, you are putting yourself in a dependent position, and mostly dependent on God. Mm-hmm. And that's hard, because you don't know what his plan is. You don't know what he has for your life, and I think you feel like Rebecca said earlier that she felt more protected at home, and I would say that's true. But you also feel more vulnerable in some ways, because you don't feel like you have as much external control on your life as maybe a lot of other people think they do, because nobody really has control of their lives. I mean, God is a part of everyone's life, but the outer feeling of control isn't there. And so I would say that was probably the biggest struggle for me, was just myself.
Leanne, why don't you jump in? I can tell you're ready.
A little bit. I agree. Brigida's right. Is a lot of that struggle that I think most young women will find too. It is, where is your heart, really? You know, it always is. Remembering that you're in a household with other people, that, you know, it's not your own little sphere. You can't do all the things you want to do. You might have a list a mile long of things you think are a great idea to do. And whether they're, you know, helpful to someone else or not, you always think it's a great idea. And so that's one of the hardest things, is I love projects, but whether or not those projects are actually useful to the rest of the family is always up for debate in my household. So, you know, one of the things is remembering, well, you know, as much as that project sounds like a great idea and I'd love to finish it, there's laundry that has to get done, and some mom would really like me to run to the store and get groceries done, or, you know, my brother needs help with getting some chores done that he's not able to do because he had to last minute run off to someone else's house or go work. And so, you know, remembering that you have to be more flexible. Whether or not you want to be more flexible is up, you know, the challenge, but you have to be flexible enough to help others that are in need. And then there will be that space of time where you can run over and go finish that project that you need to do. But that was one of the struggles, still struggle, that I have to work on, that you need to make the time for your family and for your church family or wherever you're at that moment. But making that time to help others, instead of thinking, I'm home, I can do whatever I want to do. No, you have to, you know, you might, like being 25, you know, there's not necessarily homework I have to do. I can drive and all that. So, of course, I want to go off and I can do this. And, you know, I check in with mom, sure, and dad, make sure things are okay, but I can go do it. No, I have to stop and think, okay, is that going to be a hindrance to my family or help? So that's, you know, that's one of the things to always remember, I think, that
to
forget.
Good point. Rebecca.
All right. Another struggle, like what Anna was talking about, how it's hard when other Christians come down on what you have decided. It's also really hard when other members of your family are not on board with you. Grandparents, cousins, aunts and uncles. There are sometimes that can be a little difficult every holiday when they come around and are asking about.
So, Rebecca, what are you doing with your life?
Yeah. Don't you have a boyfriend? Yeah, I get that question a lot, actually. And it can be tiring after a while to keep, you know, I don't want to feel like I'm defending myself, because then you can start to sound kind of snarky and kind of cocky and a little proud and looking down on them because they, you know, don't have the same worldview as you do. So it's a struggle to always very cheerfully, you know, very gently sit, you know, show them that this is what you have personally and prayed about it and talked with your parents, and this is what you are doing with your life because you feel this is the best for you at this time in your life. So and then also just showing them love even though they're not always excited about what you're doing with your life.
Okay. Before we get to our audience's questions, and audience members, if you haven't done so already, please hold up your index cards and Paige will come collect them. Ladies, we're going to have to kind of go fast on this one, but I want you to talk to that young lady that is 14 years old right now. She's 15, she's 16, maybe she's 17. She's conflicted about what to do. In as short of a time capsule as possible, 30 seconds, what advice do you want to give her? Time's
a ticket. I'll go. Okay. This is Leanne, by the way. I found a scripture a while back. Somebody quoted it, and I thought, you know, this really does describe what a daughter is in the household. And to remember that, it's Psalms 144, verse 12. And it says that our daughters may be pillars, or it's also corner pillars, sculpted in palace style. So, you know, to always remember that you're there to be a support for your family, for your brother, your sister, whoever is in that household. You're there to be the support to them, but a beautiful support. You know, and make yourself presentable and nice and happy and cheerful, but a support and an encouragement. And I think that really, no matter how hard the week's gone or the month's gone, or you're just in the pits of despair because you're 25 and, you know, 35 and you're still there, you know, you're still home, you know, but it doesn't matter. You're the pillar. You're the encourager. And that's where God put you. And so, you know, put on that happy face. If you have to, go in the back room, sit there and cry out to God, okay, what's wrong with me? And then go back out and try to encourage some more people. And eventually you will feel encouraged. That encouragement will always come back to you. And your family will encourage you. And, you know, I think that's one of the key things to stay focused on is the support and encouragement to the rest of your family. And everything else will, you know, follow through.
Rebecca, go for it.
All right.
30 seconds.
Okay. another thing is just to realize that God has you in this position for a reason. He is always faithful and true to keep his promises to you that he has made. And if you just trust him and rely on him for strength through the difficult times, he will always come through for you. So just trust Jesus, and your parents are also some of your biggest fans and biggest supporters. So they've been where you are right now. So go to them for any encouragement that you may need, and then your Bible also. Definitely read that.
I'm not even going to try your name. Go.
All right. This is Brigida.
Thank you.
Well, I would say if you're 14, 15, 16, 17, older, and you're struggling and you're trying, you're weighing your options for your future. You're trying to decide what it is that God's called you to. And you have I would say first examine what your struggles are. If you're struggling with it, be really honest with yourself and be thinking, what is it that you're struggling with about this? Why, with some of the other options you're looking at, why do you want that option? And there's in a multitude of counselors, there's wisdom. So other than just, you know, your parents, you know, spiritual mentors, the Bible, but really just examine why you're struggling. And if the reason why you don't want to stay at home is because of selfish reasons, where it's not an issue of even just like struggling with trust or contentment, which are things that we all struggle with all the time. But if your struggles are based more along the lines of things like, you know, I don't want to do this. Why do I have to always, you know, do the dishes or the laundry, I'd say just really try to figure out what you're struggling with and why that is. And then that will help you kind of sort some things out, by putting things in priority with Christ first. And if you're making decisions based on Christ and not on yourself, then it's going to be the right one.
Go for it.
30 seconds.
Yes, please.
Okay, I just wanted to read a scripture here real quick out of 1 Corinthians 7, verse 34. There is a difference between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman cares about the things of the Lord, but that she may be holy both in body and in spirit. But she who is married cares about the things of the world, how she may please her husband. And I think Paul is not bashing marriage in this passage. He's saying marriage is a wonderful thing, but, you know, God hasn't called everyone to it. And this phase in your life when you're single and you're trying to figure out, you know, what am I doing with my life? You're young, 14, 15, 16. Pour over the scriptures. Go to God's word and understand. Like I was saying earlier, I can't emphasize enough, understand who you are. What is your nature as a woman? Because when you understand who you are, God will open your eyes. And when you're humble before him and your heart is soft and pliable in his hand, he will show you what you should be doing. And Paul finishes with saying, you know, that you may serve the Lord without distraction. And I think that is a really important thing to understand. I want to serve the Lord wholeheartedly in these years. And one of the best ways you can do that is by knowing who you are, understanding your nature as a woman, and living that with a passion for your family and for Christ and for others.
Okay. Let's move into the Q&A here. I have a question for Rebecca, actually, and not quite sure who wrote this, but talk about your position as the Christian Heritage publicity coordinator.
Oh, wow. Well, I can give you a little bit of a background. Right while I was graduating, a mother was talking to me about, you know, things that would be good for me to just be comfortable in doing, and two of those were talking on the telephone and being able to write cohesive letters and sentences and paragraphs. And I told her, oh, don't worry, Mom, I'm never going to have a job where I have to talk to people on the phone or write. And now here I am talking to people on the phone and emailing and writing letters to people. And I am, this is my third year doing it. I'm in charge of, I get a bulk shipment of brochures, and I'm in charge of calling people, lots of people, and asking them to please take some brochures to hand out, and help spread the word about the conference. So this year I ordered 9,000 brochures, and I only have 93 left. So so that was a... I was so grateful to the Lord for giving me the strength to make it through.
And I hear you made 1,200 phone calls, something like that?
Yes, 1,200 phone calls.
That's amazing for someone who didn't want to talk on the phone. Yes.
And the majority of them were cold calling, which
is
yeah.
Well, you know, that's a skill builder right there.
Yes, it is.
I'd like to kind of move on here. Anna, I want to start with you on this one. Have you taken any classes at a community college to pursue a college education or attend a Bible college, or can you talk to that?
Yes, actually, I have. I'm currently enrolled in Koinonia Institute. It's an online correspondence
Bible college / seminary program that I'm taking. It's very self-paced, very affordable. It's something I can do from home. And I am just loving it. It is one of the best choices I've ever made in my life. Just really taking that time to really be in the Word and allow it to renew your mind. It's added busyness to my life for sure, but I just have really enjoyed doing that, and it's something that my parents just really were encouraging me to do and to take advantage of, because I can do it from home. And plus, you know, when you're at home and you're poring over the scriptures, you get to go to the breakfast, lunch, and dinner table in my case and say, guess what I just learned? And then you can talk to everybody about it, and they grow and you grow. And it's just a wonderful relationship building opportunity that's centered around the scriptures and around the Lord. And it's been an amazing experience for me, and something that I would never trade for anything.
So I think that's really important to point out. Just because you're staying at home doesn't mean that college can't be part of the equation, if that's what you feel called to do. And is anybody else doing any college or any other outside learning?
No? Well, I'm not currently. I was before I was married. I did a little bit, especially like right after and like right before I graduated high school and stuff. I took some classes, but I think that's a really good question, because it's because being a daughter at home doesn't mean that your education ends. Or even like with Anne talking about her, you know, being a doula. I mean, she had to take classes for that.
To go all the way to Texas, it was really scary.
So being a daughter at home doesn't mean that, you know, you're uneducated or you can't learn anything, or you know, it doesn't mean that, you know, we all vacuumed and then, you know, sat on the couch eating, you know, I don't, Twinkies or
okay.
bonbons.
All right.
Dark chocolate.
I'm up against the clock here. I'm going to read these questions, and I want whoever feels led to answer it to just pop in. Okay? So my family lives out of the country, and I don't currently have a driver's license. How can I busy myself at home and not be bored and discontent?
I know.
Well, bored discontent comes with the neighborhood off and on, realistically, especially with that kind of thing. I think that is the times when you can sit down and study the Word. Mm-hmm. That is the best time. You don't get that when you have to do a part-time job. If you went outside of the home, you decided, oh, I can't do any ministry work and in the home or anything, I'm going to go get a part-time job and you know, eventually when I get married, I'll stop my job. Well, if you have that availability to be home and be with in the Word of God and be able to spend that time, take it. Quite honestly, take it.
Because when you're married and you have kids, you're not going to have that kind of time.
No.
Okay, what do you think about when you're feeling tired, you're feeling discouraged, and you're tempted to fall into thinking, you know, what's the point? What keeps you going? Somebody else jump in. Go. Rebecca.
I think like I said earlier, that God has me in this spot for a reason. I heard a quote somewhere, I can't even remember whether it was a book or a movie or what it was, but or somebody just told it to me. You are in the position you are in because God believes you are going to be sanctified the most in that spot you are in at the moment. And you are in the spot where he knows that you will bring him the most glory. So if you just focus on the fact that God has everything under control, sometimes it's really easy to forget that, but if you just remember that he always has everything under control and he has, he just has the best plan for you. It might not always be, you know, sparkles and rainbows and sunshine, but it's the best plan, and he knows what you need, where you need to grow, what areas you're struggling in, and so he will be able to just give you ideas. His word is just full of encouragement. Read the Psalms, the Proverbs, they're all very excellent, encouraging okay. verses.
You'll find your spire.
Yes.
It's a tough question. What if my parents don't think I should stay at home?
That's hard. That is a really hard one. And I think one of the things to remember, that one of the Ten Commandments is to honor your father and your mother, and it will go well with you and you will live long on the earth. I think women face that question when they have an unbelieving husband. You know, what do I do? Do I need to submit to this man who is an unbeliever? And the scripture does deal with that. But I think it also deals in principles about what how you should relate to your parents. I think God will honor you for honoring your parents. And yeah, maybe it's not the best thing. Maybe it's not what God's ideal is for you as he's presented in the scriptures, but he's also called you to honor them. And the reality is your father is your head. And he's going to answer before God. And that's something you really need to remember and keep in the forefront of your mind, that you need to honor him and honor your mother in whatever they are encouraging you to do. And God will honor that. He's not going to look down and say, well, she didn't stay at home because her parents wanted her to go out, and so I'm going to zap her for it. No. God has called you to honor your parents, and you should honor them in that. Yes, A plea? No. Anyway, something, it's a similar concept. And talk to them. Say, you know, can we talk about this? And explain to them your convictions and your thoughts on it from the scriptures. Don't just say, well, I really want to do this. Really know for yourself why you want to do this. And pray that God will open their hearts. Pray, 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 pray. I can't emphasize that enough, because God will honor that.
Forget it. No.
No, I can't.
What? Here's the last question. I'm sorry we have to end with such a great question and not have any time. Why do you love your family so much?
Oh, wow. Oh, there are so many things I love about my family. Why do I love them? I love them because they're my family, I guess. It's hard to put a thing on it, why you love them, because it's not like they have, you know, that you can be like, oh, they're perfect. I love absolutely everything about them. But I love the relationship we have. I love the growing that we have together. I love I love them because Christ teaches us to love them.
That's excellent. Can you hear the music? The music is coming up. All right, everyone. That sign is a music that this episode of Christian Heritage On Air is coming to a close. Ladies, thank you so much for coming on our panel and sharing and having this discussion on how you have been pursuing life's opportunities by maximizing your time at home. You can say something, but we're not done yet. Hey, if you've enjoyed this panel, then I want to encourage you to check out the panel discussion with the young men as we discuss their pursuits in employment and business. ChristianHeritageOnAir.com is where you'll find this and all the other recorded archives. We're here to serve you as you move through your family discipleship and homeschool journey. Thank you to my son Logan for running the board, my daughter Paige for collecting questions, and everyone else behind the scenes to pull this off. And thank you to everyone on the board for this fantastic opportunity to serve. So until next time, this is Dr. Thomas Lamar broadcasting from the 2014 Christian Heritage Family Discipleship and Homeschooling Conference, and may God bless you as you diligently pass on a vibrant Christian heritage to your children for God's glory. So long, everyone, and God bless. For more information on this Christian Heritage program, find them on the internet at ChristianHeritageOnline.org. This program is produced by Christian Heritage Home Educators of Washington, copyright 2014.